Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack the core ideas from sources that really matter, giving you those essential insights you need. Today, we're looking at the career and the thinking of Robert Iger, who's arguably one of the most successful corporate leaders of the last few decades.
That's right. We're getting into his book, The Ride of a Lifetime. And it's more than just a memoir, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Our goal here is really to pull out Iger's kind of blueprint for leadership today. How do you manage that balance, you know, the huge visionary thinking, buying Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm.
Right.
And then also have the detailed operational skill to navigate something like the streaming wars. It's a tough act.
It really is. It's like the ultimate masterclass in managing massive change. Mm-hmm. And the book tackles what almost every company is facing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make those really bold, forward-looking bets in a world that's just constantly changing, constantly uncertain?
And do it while sticking to your core values, the things that made you successful in the first place.
Exactly. It's a huge challenge.
Yeah. But Iger offers a pretty practical roadmap, actually.
Let's talk about Iger himself for a second, because his background is pretty amazing. Not exactly a typical CEO story.
Not at all.
He started at ABC back in 74, studio supervisor, making, get this, $150 a week.
Wow. Really starting at the bottom.
Totally. And he spent 45 years working his way up, learning the ropes at every level.
And just look where that climb took him. He becomes CEO of Disney in 2005. By the time he steps down in 2020, the company's market cap went from, what, $48 billion?
Yeah.
To over $240 billion. That kind of growth sustained over that long, it's just phenomenal.
And I think what makes his perspective so valuable is that he's not some academic just theorizing.
Right.
He was in the room. He lived it. He wasn't reading case studies about negotiating with Steve Jobs or George Lucas or Rupert Murdoch. He was the one doing the negotiating.
Mm-hmm. Personally.
That mix of like creative feel and sharp business sense, it makes his viewpoint really unique.
Absolutely. His authority comes from the fact that every principle he talks about was tested under immense pressure. Real world stakes. Yes. He doesn't just give you the decisions. He walks you through the often difficult process behind them.
So how's the book laid out? It's kind of a mix, isn't it? Part story of his life, part leadership guide.
Yeah, exactly. A hybrid. And it feels aimed at anyone leading or wanting to lead an organization that's facing, you know, unavoidable big changes.
And the central message is, well, it's surprisingly straightforward. And very human, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
He argues that great leadership isn't about complicated theories. It's about basic principles. Things like optimism, courage, being really focused, and being decisive.
But he really hammers home that none of that works without integrity, without genuine respect for people and for the creative work they do.
That's the foundation.
The book follows his career, basically, split into two big parts. Learning, that's his early years, his mentors at ABC, and then leading, which covers his time as CEO, making those huge changes at Disney.
Right. And the point isn't just to tell stories. It's to show how that principled approach led to these incredible results, especially navigating those huge acquisitions and making that massive shift to streaming. That's the real tightrope walk he describes.
Okay, let's dive into that first part, learning. What were some of those key lessons from his early days? He mentions learning the relentless pursuit of perfection from Rune Arledge, the sports producer.
Yeah, Arledge set a very high bar, but maybe the more foundational philosophy came from Tom Murphy and Dan Burke at Capital Cities, the company that bought ABC.
Ah, right.
They taught him a style that was pretty different for the time. Decentralized leadership, humility, integrity above all else. Their approach was basically hire great people, trust them, respect them, simple but powerful.
And he definitely needed that grounding because what he saw later under Michael Eisner at Disney was, well, the complete opposite, wasn't it?
A stark contrast, yeah.
Yeah.
He talks about seeing how micromanagement and the sort of constant negativity, this culture of fear, how it just crushed creativity, alienated key people like Pixar.
So he learned exactly what not to do.
Precisely. He knew the kind of leader he didn't want to be, and that directly informed his strategy when he finally got the top job in 2005. He didn't mess around.
No waiting.
He immediately set out three really clear strategic priorities. Number one, focus intensely on high-quality branded content. Number two, embrace technology, don't fight it. And three, push hard on global expansion. That clarity was vital from day one.
Okay, so step one is clarity. Step two seems like it was maybe the hardest part initially.
Yeah.
Fixing that relationship with Pixar. Disney Animation wasn't doing great, and Iger knew they needed Pixar's magic. But the relationship with Steve Jobs was terrible.
Totally wrecked under Eisner, yeah. Fixing that and then ultimately buying Pixar for $7.4 billion was Iger's absolute first priority as CEO.
Why so critical? Why right away?
Because Disney's heart, its creative engine, was failing. Iger understood that without top-notch content, those other strategic pillars, technology and global reach, they didn't matter much.
Yeah.
So the Pixar deal wasn't just about money. It felt almost existential for Disney. And Iger had to personally spend months building trust with Jobs. He had to convince him Pixar's unique culture, its creative process, would be safe.
He was buying the culture, not just the studio?
Exactly. The talent and the way they worked. That was the prize.
And once Pixar was in the fold, it seems like the momentum just built.
Yeah.
Next up, Marvel. $4 billion. He had to sell the Disney board on superheroes fitting the Disney brand.
Yeah, that took some convincing. His argument famously was innovate or die.
Pretty blunt.
It had to be. He argued that you couldn't just stick to the old definitions of your brand. You had to acquire these huge universes of intellectual property. Playing it safe, just sticking to princesses and cartoons. In that changing media world, that was the biggest risk.
And then Lucasfilm in 2012. Another $4 billion, roughly. The negotiation with George Lucas sounds like it was less about the money and more. Personal.
Deeply personal. Iger's main job there was convincing Lucas that Disney would be a faithful guardian of Star Wars. You know, his life's work. Stewardship.
Yes. These massive deals ultimately came down to personal integrity. Could Lucas trust Iger with his legacy? That was the real currency.
Okay, so he's got Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, content secured. But then comes the big disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
Technology. Netflix is changing everything.
Right. The existential threat. And Iger details just how much pushback he got inside Disney when he decided they had to pivot hard away from the incredibly profitable cable TV business.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. They had to start actively undermining their own cash cow.
Mm-hmm. Cannibalizing.
Intentionally hurting the reliable income from cable to build this uncertain streaming future. That takes serious nerve.
It really does. And that whole strategy led up to the absolutely massive move. Buying most of 21st Century Fox for $71.3
billion. $71 billion, just staggering.
That was the move to get the scale, the library of content needed to launch Disney Plus and actually compete head-to-head with Netflix and the others. It was an enormous bet, betting the whole company, really, on this huge technological shift. Okay, let's pull back a bit. Looking at this whole incredible ride, what are the main themes, the core messages that come through from Iger?
Well, the first one, I think, has to be what he calls pragmatic optimism.
Okay. What's that exactly?
It's not just wishful thinking. It's a core belief as a leader that problems can be solved, that you and your team can figure things out. So much inaction in companies comes from fear, from pessimism. Iger believes optimism is essential for taking necessary risks.
That makes sense. And it connects directly to the next theme, right?
Yeah.
Which is having the courage to take big swings.
Absolutely. Iger's story shows that in a world changing this fast, the most dangerous thing you can do is play it safe, stand still. Those huge acquisitions seemed risky then, but they secured Disney's future. He chose to shape the future, not just react to it.
So optimism enables courage. What else?
Theme three is fundamental, respect for creativity and talent. Think about Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm. His success came from nurturing the talent he brought in, protecting their processes. Resisting that corporate urge to meddle or micromanage creative work.
That trust seems key. Which leads to theme four. Integrity and decency as a, he almost implies it's a competitive advantage.
He does. Like we saw with Jobs and Lucas, his reputation for honesty, for keeping his word, that's what allowed those incredibly complex deals to happen. Being decent actually simplifies things because people know they can trust you.
And the last big one has to be about technology.
Right. Theme five. See technology as an opportunity, not just a threat. He chose to embrace disruption. That willingness to tear down his own successful cable business model before the market forced him to, that's probably the biggest strategic lesson for any leader today.
The book really is full of these concise, powerful lines. He has a knack for boiling down big ideas.
He really does. Like on consistency, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Meaning your character has to show up the same way in small things as it does in the huge ones.
And that urgency theme again. Innovate or die, there's no middle ground. It just cuts right to the chase, doesn't it?
It does. And on attitude. You can't communicate pessimism and lead people toward a vision of success. Leadership is contagious. Your confidence or lack of it spreads.
I liked his thought on hiring too. Value ability more than experience. Put people in roles that require them to grow. Always looking for potential. Trusting people to step up.
So Thinking about applying these lessons, what can we take away for our own work? For managers, maybe?
I think that focus piece is huge. Iger picked just two or three core priorities and hammered them home constantly. So maybe for managers, identify your top priorities, communicate them clearly, and then trust your team. Give them resources, not instructions for every step. Resist that micromanagement urge.
Yeah, good point. And for entrepreneurs or people thinking strategy, that Disney Plus pivot is a masterclass. Be brutally honest. Is your main moneymaker today vulnerable? Might you need to start building its replacement, even if it hurts short term?
And in negotiations, remember the human element, especially if you're acquiring something someone built. Address the legacy, the emotion, before you get bogged down in the numbers.
Definitely. And just for personal growth, remember where Iger started, $150 a week. The lesson is about excellence in whatever job you have now.
Right. Do the job you have, not the job you want. Give every task that relentless pursuit of perfection.
Looking back at the whole book, the biggest takeaway for me is that balance. The balance between incredible boldness, that $71 billion Fox deal, and real humility, like knowing Disney Animation needed help from Pixar.
Yeah.
It proves that long-term success isn't just about smart moves. It's built on relationships and grounded in values.
What surprised me most, I think, was just how personal those huge deals were, how much they depended on Iger building genuine trust with people like Steve Jobs and George Lucas. It really shows that decency, integrity, it isn't some soft skill.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental strength in leadership.
Absolutely. And maybe that's the final thought for everyone listening. If these multi-billion-dollar deals, deals that reshaped entire industries, really hinged on the perceived integrity of one person, what value are you consciously placing on your own reputation, your own decency in your work every single day? Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accatra Foundation.